Let's turn our Bibles to John. John chapter 8. We'll read verse 31 through 33. John chapter 8, verse 31 through 33. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you for this morning. We just want to invite you to come and speak to us, God, this morning, and just to be with us as we worship you through singing, as we pray to you, and as we hear the word. Thank you for your presence that is here, God. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Jesus says to those Jews who had believed him, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." I just have three reflections that I have made over time as I was kind of preparing for this message. The first one, the truth will make you free. That's a very popular phrase, right? We've used it outside of the church. In popular media, we use this term, the truth will make you free. We kind of throw that phrase around. And sometimes when we say that, when we say the truth will make you free, we're talking about the kind of truth where you are being authentic to yourself, right? So if you Google that term, the truth will make you free, a bunch of Bible stuff will come up, and then you'll come across a Psychology Today article that says the truth will make you free. And basically, the main point of the article is you need to be real. You need to be honest with yourself. The power of being honest and authentic and true to oneself, because that's how you're going to be set free. So we use it in that sense. The truth will make you free. Sometimes, both Christians and non-Christians, church people and non-church people, when we use the phrase, the truth will make you free, we use the term truth to refer to any true statement, right? So if you hear something very deep and profound, you know, regardless of who is saying it. It could come from TV, it could come from whatever, the internet. It could even be an internet comment from someone, and you think it's very profound. You say, man, that is truth. And we sometimes have this attitude of, at least I do, even though, you know, I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus, I have this attitude or this idea that all truth is God's truth, right? So that truth could come from anybody, and that truth holds the same value. And if I could just have enough of these deep and profound truths about life, about humanity, about what it means to be human, then it will help me become set free, right? I mean, I took a theology and film class for my last seminary class. And great class, I loved it. But a lot of the times we focused on this idea of common grace, meaning God gives grace not just to people that know him to have a salvation in him, but a common grace that he gives to everybody, and that allows every human being to be able to create something that reflects truth in some way, that there is truth that anybody can share. And if we, you know, watch good movies that have these truths, that it will in some ways make us free. And so I was just reflecting on that and how I really buy into that idea. And then the Holy Spirit just convicted me with this word. So if you read this passage again, Verse 31, Jesus says to the disciples, to the Jews that believed him, he says, if you continue in my word, then you're going to become true disciples of mine, and then you will know the truth. Jesus is saying, not any truth, not being true to yourself and being honest and being authentic. Yes, that's good. And not any truth or deep, profound, whatever from anybody else. And that those are good too. You can watch a good movie that really reveals truths about humanity and what it means to be human. And those things will be good for you. But Jesus is saying, I'm not talking about that kind of truth. I'm not talking about being true to yourself. I'm talking about you listening to my word and obeying my word. And he says, if you do that, then you are going to know the truth and it will set you free. The only way you will know truth is by continuing in his word, in his teaching. So basically, it's I'm sorry, Psychology Today. That's a great article, but that's not what's going to set us free. I'm sorry, Gandhi and the Dalai Lama and the Pope and any other great teacher or world leader or some celebrity. I mean, they are smart people and they have thought about life and meditated about life and they're sharing some good things, but that's not the truth that's going to set us free. It's Jesus is the only one that claims to have this, right? This is very important and also it's very powerful. He's the only one who is able to say, hey, I am the truth. I am the truth. And if you hold to my teaching, it will set you free. What other teacher in this world can tell you, man, you just do exactly what I tell you to do and you're going to be set free. Right? Nobody can do that. We will say, man, you're an arrogant person. And really, if you turn to people like Gandhi or Dalai Lama or Mother Teresa or whoever that was a great world leader, great person of love and charity, they're never going to say that. They're too humble to say, yeah, you listen to my teaching. They'll point to something else and say, this is a truth. Walk in it. But Jesus is able to say, see, he doesn't humble himself. He doesn't say, oh, no, it's not me. It's not my teaching. You got to go to the Father. You got to go do this or that. He says, no, listen to my teaching and you obey that and you're going to be set free. He's the only person that can do that. I remember P. Sam's story when he was traveling somewhere at an airport, like a sports bar, just watching something, and he was sitting next to this man, and I guess they started talking, and he started sharing about Jesus Christ, and man, I don't even know the details of the story anymore, but basically it came down to Pastor Sam saying, hey, you turn to any other great, I think the question was, why is it only Jesus? Why is Jesus, the right way to God? And P. Sam turned to him and said, you turn to any other world or religion, Buddhism or Hinduism or whatever philosophy, and they'll say, you got to do this. You got to go to the 7 steps or the 9 steps of enlightenment and do this and do that. But only Jesus is able to say with confidence, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I'm the only one that you can go to the Father through. So you've heard this before probably. Jesus is either a lunatic who was crazy enough to think that he had the truth, or he was a really, really good liar who could convince people that he had the truth when he didn't, or the third option is he really is what he said he is. And we can put our trust in him and we can follow him. So that's the first point. It's not just any truth. Don't let this very politically correct kind of relativistic mindset and the worldview, the philosophy of our day kind of confuse us. Yes, there's value in truth being shared by other people, movies and media and other things, but it's not that truth that will set you free. It's Jesus' truth. It's Jesus' words. Number two, and I want to move quickly, What does it mean to continue in his teaching? Jesus says in verse 31, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So then we have to ask, you know, what does it mean, Lord Jesus, to continue in your teaching? If you look at the word continue in the New International Version of the Bible, it says, if you hold to my teaching, the ESV will say, if you abide in my word. It's the same word abide that we hear in John 15 when Jesus keeps using the word abide in me, remain in me. If you abide in me and I abide in you, then you're going to bear much fruit. Abide in my love, abide in my word, abide in me. So that's a difficult word. We don't really use the word abide that often, right? And when people use that word, I don't always know exactly what that means, right? So somebody will say, are you abiding? And I go, I don't know, am I? What does it mean to abide? Like, does that mean I'm spending time with Jesus? Does that mean I'm doing my quiet time? Does that mean, you know, that term soaking? Am I soaking in the presence of God? What does it mean to abide? So the Greek word that the Bible writer used here is the word meno. And what it means is to stay or to wait, or to remain, but not only in a kind of a metaphorical sense, but also in a very concrete, physical sense of the word. So if I go to Hazel's place, and I stay there, that would use that word, meno. I'm staying in so-and-so's place. A lot of times, the Bible will say, Jesus went to so-and-so's place and he stayed there. He stayed in this city. They'll use the same word, meaning he abided in that city. He remained in that city. He waited in that city. Stayed in that city. Very physical sense of the word as well. And let me just ask, how do you stay somewhere? Like if I go to Hazel's place, let's say I'm a missionary from somewhere else and I come here to Hong Kong and I get to know Hazel's family, and her parents invite me over to stay at her place. How do I stay at her place? I just make sure that I don't leave her place. I just make sure that I'm there, I'm not leaving, I'm not going anywhere else, and I'm staying at her place. So I think it helps to think about Jesus' words or teaching as a physical thing that I need to stay in. So if you can imagine, just maybe like his word, his teaching as a path, you know? And it's a physical path, and you need to remain in it, stay in it, and not deviate from it, right? So when Jesus says, if you continue in my word, it means if you obey my word, if you stay in the path that I've set out for you, in the teaching that I've set out for you, then you're going to be a true disciple of mine. And the thing is, when we are, you know, sometimes we could be staying home in Jesus, staying home in his love, but maybe so often there's a knock on the door, you know, that's asking us to come outside and saying, hey, don't just stay home. You got to go out and see the world, you know. You got to come out and experience the world. You can't just stay here. And so there's a knock, and maybe it's a really attractive person, and it says, come out and play, and you want to leave the word of Jesus, and you want to go there. Maybe it's someone that says, man, you can't just stay home. You got to, whatever. You got to go and make money. You got to go and do this or do that. And I think there's all sorts of things that come at us to try and get us to leave Jesus, to go turn to something else, to go turn to another hope, to go turn to another truth that seems right in our own eyes. But we need to remain. So question for us is, or for all of us, is do I even know what Jesus taught? Do I even know his teaching? It is so important for us to read and then to reread and then to meditate upon and then to remember the words of Jesus. Because if this is true, and we know what Jesus is saying is true, right? If we hold on to his teaching, if we continue in his teaching, then we're going to be set free. So it's so important to read I mean, the Bible, yes, but the Gospels especially, I think, and the words of Jesus Christ so that we can learn it. And lastly, I just want to leave us with a question is, am I free? Am I enslaved to anything? Read the passage. In verse 33, these people that believed in Jesus, when they hear Jesus saying this, they say to him, "We are Abraham's descendants, and we've never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" And eventually, they actually get quite mad at him, even though they started off believing in him. So, am I free? Am I enslaved to anything? Like the Jews who asked, "We are not slaves. How can you say that we're going to be set free?" I went into this passage thinking, "Oh, I know this passage. I've read this before. I've already been set free. This isn't for me." I wasn't even, just automatically, because I've been a Christian, I go into this passage and I think, "Oh, this is for other people. Yeah, people need to know this. People need to find the truth and be set free. I don't even think that maybe I'm enslaved to anything." And then the Holy Spirit kind of convicted me and said, "No, you're really not free. Are you really free from sin and free from all sorts of, just brokenness and issues and turmoil in my heart?" Actually, the truth is there are so many areas in my life where I am not free. I'm not walking in freedom. I'm not walking in peace and joy and confidence. I'm actually walking in a lot of inner turmoil. And why is that? Because I'm not continuing in Jesus' teaching. Right? Because I'm turning to all these other things. Even this morning, I was thinking about an issue that I feel like I was struggling with. And what did I do? I turned to Google. I typed the question, "Why is this happening to me? I don't want to tell you what it is." And I Googled it and I found some secular article that I thought, "Oh yeah, this is actually really helpful." And I was reading it, and then it was in the middle of me reading the Bible, and then I thought of this issue, and then I turned to Google to find the answer. And then the Holy Spirit again is like, "What are you doing?" Right? This is not the way to find freedom. For you to be set free, I need to know His Word. You know, I need to read and reread and meditate upon and think about and try to memorize and remember the teaching of Jesus. And maybe if I truly did that, I would be set free. You know, I would walk in a greater freedom from, the brokenness of my heart and the issues of my life. So I just want to leave us with that. Let's just meditate upon those three things. The first is, the truth will make you free. And have we been have we really been reading the whole passage, you know, where Jesus says, "If you continue in my word, you'll be a disciple and you will know the truth." Right? It's not just any truth. It's not just any truth that you read from Psychology Today or some parenting article or some self-help book. Those are good. Yes, there's elements of truth in that. But what's really going to set us free is the words of Jesus Christ. And secondly, are you abiding in His Word? Are you continuing in His Word? Are you walking and staying in the Word of God? Or do you keep deviating from it? You know, leaving the teaching of Jesus for another teaching or another thing that looks more attractive? Or are you staying in it and staying with Jesus and not turning to another thing? And lastly, are you free? Are you walking in freedom? Jesus specifically says anyone that sins is a slave to sin. Right after this passage, He will talk about, what I mean is, I want you to be set free from sin. But are you free? Are you truly, have you been set free from your sin? From your selfishness, self-centeredness, your insecurities, your addictions, whatever it might be. And can we really, can we just honestly look at ourselves and say, do I really believe that if I walk in the teaching of Jesus, I will be set free? Yeah, so let's just go to Jesus at this time. Thank you for the song. I don't know how the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, but to me, I feel like He is calling me to repent. Specifically for not holding on to the teaching of Jesus to be the truth. I think I've just bought into the kind of the popular kind of philosophy of our culture now, which is to not be so exclusive, you know, and you feel like you're not being politically correct or you're being offensive if you just exclusively hold on to Jesus's teachings, and it's kind of cool and hip, you know, to be relevant, to turn to popular media and to, you know, find nuggets of truth. and whatnot. But I think, yeah, he's bringing me back and saying, no, you gotta know my word. You gotta know my teaching. And that's the truth that's gonna set you free. And I think as a church, we need to be unapologetically committed to the teaching of Jesus. And to say to the world, there's no other truth is gonna compare to the teaching of Jesus Christ. So, yeah, let's repent and let's trust Him. God, thank You for the reminder and for Your conviction. And I repent, Father, for just looking to so many other things, God, to be truth and almost holding all truth at equal value. But I think that's just not... That's not what You were talking about, Lord Jesus, when You said the truth will set you free. That's not what You were talking about. So help me and our church, God, to come back to Your word and Your teaching, God, and to be fiercely committed to that, God. So lead us, Father, lead us. Let's turn to our prayer focus as a group, as a church. Let's pray for those that are battling cancer, going through chemo or radiotherapy. Let's stand in the gap with them. Let's pray for God's strength. Let's pray for a miracle. Let's pray for God's healing to come upon our friends. Let's pray. Let's go to the second slide. Pray for those that are struggling with cancer or illness, but also they don't know Jesus Christ and they don't have they're in need of spiritual deliverance as well. So let's just pray for our friends, our loved ones on this list. Let's go to the third slide. Just various infirmities that our church members and their loved ones are struggling with. Let's pray with faith that Jesus can heal our friends. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for strength and encouragement for them in this time. Let's go to the fourth slide. Pray for our friends that are looking for a job. Let's just pray for God's blessing and favor over them, that He will lead them to the right company, to the right people. Okay, let's pray for them. Let's go to our Tuesday prayer focus. Let's pray for Hong Kong, our city. Let's pray for our government. Let's pray regarding the wealth gap, that something could be done. Let's pray for the churches, that there will be revival in the churches. Let's pray for all these ministries that's written on there. Pray for God's anointing and favor and protection over these ministries. And the last one, Hong Kong students, suicide. We had that up there because a few months ago there was kind of frequent cases of young people committing suicide. And let's pray for the young people of Hong Kong, both high school and college students. There's so much pressure upon them, especially regarding academics, and there's a lot of hopelessness. Let's just pray that God will touch their hearts and bring hope to them. Let's pray that the churches would rise up to share the gospel with them. So let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for our staff. So as you know, many of our staff members are traveling for the summer. So please pray for Pastor Sam, who is away on his sabbatical. Pastor Ricky is coming back this week sometime. Pastor Kenny has just left. Pastor Mary, also in the States, resting and having her annual leave. Ashley and Ealing are all traveling. Ben is traveling. So please pray. And pray for our staff just to be united and to be intimate with Jesus Christ. And pray, please pray for anointing and for us to be full of faith. So yeah, let's lift up the staff together. Let's pray for the worship team, the sound and the AV team. Pray for a heart of excellence. Pray for a heart of service to the church, a heart of worship. And let's pray for our equipment. Sometimes we don't even know why the equipment don't work. So let's just pray for God's blessing over them, that none of these things will continue. And especially with Kenny being gone, if anything goes wrong, none of us know what to do. So we need God's help in our equipment. So let's just pray for our equipment as well. Let's pray for our hospitality team, our welcoming team, and barista team. Pray for more volunteers. Pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon them, that when they give a smile to someone, when they greet someone, that it won't be just a nice gesture, but the other person will really feel welcomed and loved to our church. They will feel the love of God through that ministry. So let's pray for hospitality ministry. House church is on break. Just pray for the leaders and to be rested and to really enjoy the summer. And let's just pray. God, we thank you for this time. We do lift up our house church leaders, God, that you would give them a good break, God, over the next 2 months. Let the house church members still stay connected and sharing and praying for one another. Thank you that we can come before you this morning just to pray to you and spend some time in your word and to worship you. And we pray for more of the Holy Spirit in this place, more of the Holy Spirit in our lives, God. Help us to be filled with the Holy Spirit as we go off to our day. I pray that you will walk with us. God, I bless everyone here. I bless their spirit to connect to Holy Spirit and to lead their body and soul. In Jesus' name, thank you, God. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. We'll see you guys tomorrow.